Welcome to Chart Toppers, an astrology-themed podcast slash radio slash whatever you want it to be show. We're your hosts, Angela Bell
and Rachel Coe, and we're coming to you from the WJRH studio at Lafayette College in Easton, Pennsylvania.
And we're back. Hi, everyone. It is October 24th, 2018. And you are listening to Chart Toppers with Angela Bell and Rachel Coe. I don't know why I just did the intro, even though...
Yeah, we do the intro before.
It just feels unnatural to...
To, like, start a podcast
without it. Introducing ourselves.
We could always play it back to ourselves and then...
Yeah, I feel like also I always have to remind people that we have different voices since last week. We talked about how my mom can't tell our voices apart.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. This is Rachel speaking. And joining us today, we have our friend and colleague, Brooks Thomas.
Whoa.
With one S. Yeah. Okay. That's me.
Thanks.
Brooks, who are you?
I am a physicist, and I play a lot of music, and I am an assistant professor at Lafayette, and yeah, that's kind of the surface level who I am.
Okay.
Yeah. You played a show recently.
Yes.
Is that true?
I played at Porch Fest under
Very
the name
cool.
Need-Based Paint.
Need-Based Paint. That's
yeah.
really great.
It was really great, and I loved hearing you play live because I do listen to Need-Based Paint at my desk sometimes. And I was like, oh, this is like the first song I always like check my email to when I'm sitting at my desk. So it's fun. It was fun.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad you listened to it.
Cool. So we've been excited to have Brooks come on because he loves music. He's a physicist. Brooks, can you tell us a little bit about your research?
Yeah, so primarily what I do is try to figure out, I'm a theoretical physicist, and the problem that I mostly work on is what is this mysterious dark matter that we know for a variety of reasons is out there in the universe, but we don't really know what it is yet. All we know is that it's something bizarre and beyond our sort of standard model of particle physics with its quarks and its electrons and its photons. And it's something completely new that we don't understand. And we have yet to be able to actually probe its properties other than to say a couple of things like it's heavy, it's massive, and it causes a gravitational pull on things. That's pretty much the extent of what we know about dark matter, other than we know it's some sort of particles, probably. And, well, we're hoping we can detect those particles in a lot of ways. And that's kind of what my work is about, is proposing new theories of dark matter and figuring out how they could be tested experimentally. And then other people try to test them.
Cool.
That's so deep and... mysterious.
So you think about the stars a lot.
Yes, that I do. That I definitely
do. In
perhaps
a slightly different frame than how we're going to think about the stars today.
Yes, but the difference of context will be it'll be a welcome change. So.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that. Does dark matter have anything to do with gravitational waves?
So gravitational waves are kind of a different phenomenon. Basically, gravitational waves are ripples in the space-time continuum, sort of ripples in the fabric of space-time, if you will. And they're typically produced by, some of the things, black holes that sort of merge together with each other. Mm-hmm. If you have two black holes, they'll attract each other, and sometimes they'll sort of... circle around each other for a little while, getting closer and closer and closer, and then coalesce into one black hole. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of the mass in those original black holes gets radiated out in the form of gravitational waves, just kind of like when you drop a rock on the surface of a pond, waves ripple outward on the surface of the pond. And basically, instead of waves on a surface of a pond, these are waves in the space-time continuum, basically. And So dark matter is... Dark matter, if I had really big clumps of dark matter, you know, coming together, probably I could, you know, anything that's massive that's sort of moving back and forth could produce gravitational waves. But the connection to dark matter is we're not sensitive enough to detect those gravitational waves yet, at least.
Okay,
cool. So I have a question, because as you were talking about two black holes swirling together, I was thinking, is that like a metaphor for when two Scorpios hang out together?
Oh, I was thinking of a toilet flushing.
We have very different thoughts in our mind right now.
This like hand motion of like the swirling together, and then like the gravitational wave. My understanding is that that results from two very massive objects colliding a long time and a lot of space away from here.
That's right. That is definitely right.
But your hand motion made me think of a toilet flushing. But maybe it's two Scorpios hanging out. Is two Scorpios hanging out toilet flushing?
No, it's two black holes hanging out.
Two black holes hanging out.
Is that too sign shaming? It might be sign shaming.
I mean, it's Scorpio season, so I want to be like especially nice to Scorpios and not refer to them.
Okay,
as black holes.
We're going to talk about Scorpio season a lot today. So
black holes are
not that
awesome,
black holes.
Though.
Yeah, actually, yeah, but I mean, yeah. According to Brooks's explanation, maybe that's not fair either. I think that it has like a connotation that it's like somehow like negative, and I didn't mean to.
I mean,
I
same for Scorpios. Same for Scorpios. Scorpios are awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah,
right.
Scorpios
they're just
are awesome. Deep.
They're just. I mean, we're gonna have a Scorpio hopefully on in the next few weeks. So.
Oh yeah, we wanted to bring on a Scorpio for Scorpio season. We're gonna do that.
We will. So anyway, but onto the show.
Yeah, this is no longer a podcast about
astrology. It's just a black hole talk.
Okay. Yeah. So the astrological aspect we wanted to talk about this week is actually today is the full moon in Taurus, and that happened earlier this morning. So we were going to talk about the full moon in Taurus.
Okay. Cool.
I was excited to talk about Taurus because we haven't had a lot of Taurus like on the show as in the form of our guests yet, and there hasn't been a lot of movement in like Taurus in terms of astrological aspects lately. So we haven't spent a lot of time talking about like what Taurus energy is, and so I'm excited to talk about that.
Yeah. So our friends at Cafe Astrology, shout out to our favorite website, says that the full moon in Taurus. Or full moons are all about pitting opposite signs of the zodiac against each other, but they also invite us to work to achieve a balance between opposing energies. So what does that make you think about, Rachel?
Opposing energies. Okay.
That's not really about like moon and Taurus specifically, but just like what we should think about during a full moon. Which is like once every how many weeks? Four?
Yeah, once every 4 weeks there's a full moon. I tend to use the full moon as a opportunity to ask like what I need to release and like what I've been holding on to, and what, you know, the idea of like being full and then sort of needing to like, you know, shed your skin if now I'm a snake. If I think of the moon as like breathing, this is like the top of the in-breath, and now it's time to sort of like breathe out. thank you, Brooks.
Brooks is doing an exercise.
For doing
breathing.
A breathing exercise with me in the studio.
That feels really relaxing.
Yeah, totally. I had one of my students made us all take a deep breath in class. It was really sweet. Or invited us to all take a deep breath in class. It was really sweet. Shout out, Chad.
So many shout outs. Ben, we need a shout out to Ben.
Shout out to Ben Gordon.
Shout out to moms who are listening.
Shout out to our moms. Brooks, do you want to shout out to anybody today?
Let's see. Let me think about that.
Yeah, okay. We can ask you again in a little bit.
In the meantime, I'm shouting out to our one international listener.
So getting back to the full moon in Taurus. Well, it occurred to us as kind of interesting that Taurus, the moon being in Taurus right now and the sun being in Scorpio actually are on the opposite ends of
polar opposites.
Wheel, right? They're 180 degrees apart. So I thought that was interesting, but I didn't know that like full moons in general were asking us to look at like opposing signs.
That's
new information to me.
We're still learning. We're always learning on this podcast, Brooks.
Okay.
There are other realms of my life in which I'm fully formed and know everything, but on this podcast, we're still learning.
Okay, so Brooks.
Yeah.
What the internet is saying is that the moon in Taurus wants us to find emotional fulfillment through simple, tangible things in life. And Scorpio wants us to draw our attention to the complexities, what's intangible and mysterious.
Sounds like black dark matter.
Yeah. What does that make you think about?
Let's see. So are those opposing? Are Taurus and Scorpio? Okay. So the intangibility and mysteriousness, I don't know. Maybe it's just sort of I guess my life has sort of been oscillating back and forth between intangible, mysterious things that just keep cropping up and sort of things that should be more stable or more fulfilled, I guess. Maybe this is just, I don't know, it's, maybe this is just the time of year when that happens. I don't know. I find like during early autumn, like I don't know, especially early autumn full moons, like I find myself just sort of clutching toward this idea of like cyclicity. It's a harvest season, and like you hear like Vivaldi music playing in your ears or something like that, and want to go hear bluegrass bands play on porches, and you want to just like eat pies, and so that's sort of like the maybe sort of like social comfort food aspect of the whole moon in Taurus. And I'm just like, it's a moon and it's kine, it's cattle, it's just like, I don't know, there's something Homeric about it. It's just like you're returning to Ithaca and just want to like lay low for a little while. And then there's like the, I don't know, the Scorpio thing is like the whole like Alfred Lord Tennyson Ulysses, like hell with this, I'm like gonna go get on a ship for no reason and just go like like sail out of the past the rocks of Gibraltar because I can, haha. Okay. I don't know, and I can sometimes, like, it's sort of, yeah, life for me is a lot sort of a balance between sort of, like, getting my sort of personal stuff okay so that there's sort of a background of, you know, life to lead, and then kind of running into all sorts of other crazy things that disrupt everything and going bonkers about that. So
we should bookmark that because we're going to talk about that.
Okay.
Very soon. So yeah. Rachel.
Yeah. I love that you described it as oscillations. That feels really true to me too, I think. And I was, I think like part of, Angela and I were talking about sort of both having kind of rough Octobers, and as I was in like one of my many meltdowns a couple of weeks ago, my partner sort of called me out and was like, Rachel, this happened at this time last year too, you know, like what's going on? And then it occurred to me too that I think that like research on people in times of transition says that like the 6 to 8 week mark into some kind of major transition is a really hard time, like somehow that's the point at which your lizard brain realizes that like things are different now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the point that we are into the semester. That like the students are in their transition back to campus or to campus for the first time for our first years. And so it occurs to me that that energy is really that energy is like really rampant on campus. Mm-hmm. That like, oh shit, like this is our life now.
Yeah, I had to go to a meeting late because like an exam ran late, and I just like grabbed a cookie and like ran away right after the meeting. And I was like, I'm trying to do a million things at once and I can't. And I feel like everyone's doing that same thing, like trying to get their free food on campus, but also trying to have office hours and trying to do their homework and trying to grade exams and trying to write papers, like all at the same time.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar.
So I think that we should all think about how our life is oscillating. That's what we're inviting our readers, our listeners to do. And I think maybe we should. What? You're
Can I say one more thing about the full moon in Taurus? I was sensing
you
about to move us on. Was that what you were doing?
I mean, I was trying to get us to like reflect and like think about a great song that we could play, but.
Not yet.
Soon. Like, tell us your thing.
Oh, I was just going to invite us in the new moon in Taurus, and Taurus is the quote that I have from Chani Nicholas says that the Taurus is luscious, lazy, and lingering.
Mm-hmm.
And I really want to like fucking like invite myself into lusciousness and laziness and like so like doing something slow this weekend. So that's the intention that I'm gonna set for the full moon in Taurus, is to do something fucking lazy.
Hear. I almost feel like the song has to be Autumn Armagnac by the Kinks now.
Oh my gosh. Brooks is speaking to my heart. I was gonna play Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract, but I will always be here for the Kinks.
Yeah.
All right, so see you soon after the jump.
right, welcome back, folks. You just listened to Autumn Almanac by The Kinks, and that was Brooks's song choice. Brooks, in what way do you feel like that encapsulates the either the Moon in Taurus or the
The Moon in Taurus? It's
Scorpio season.
There's just such
any
a
of what we were just talking about.
There's just such a fullness to it, and it's just sort of like the lyrics are all sort of, I mean, it goes from like Autumn Almanac to it says actually Autumn Armagnac on one of them. It's all just sort of like taking in the fullness of the bounty of autumn and just sort of retreating into one's den and the quietness of indoors. And they're talking about, like, you know, like eating currant buns to compensate for lack of sun and stuff. And but there's this whole harvest fullness to it that just sings to me. And just
I feel really after listening to that song, I'm feeling like fully in autumn, and actually more sort of like somehow more like the ground is here.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I was just gonna say, I think because Brooks has chosen our song of the week, and we've touched on a little on how Brooks is kind of dealing with the opposites or the extremities, maybe we should start thinking about his chart.
Sounds fun.
Okay. I mean, are we ready?
Yeah.
Brooks, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. Brooks is a Pisces sun. And so the sun in Pisces is, you know, the main sign. It's the sign that, like, you tell everyone at a party when you're asked, like, what song, what sign are you? And I think before we get into the chart, do you want to play the song, or should we talk a little bit about what the sun in Pisces is? Because we haven't talked about it on this podcast yet.
We have not talked a whole lot about Pisces yet. We're learning a whole ton of new things today. I love Pisces. My mom is a Pisces. Shout out, Mom. I hope you're listening.
Oh, my mom's a Taurus. So shout out to Moon in Taurus.
That's cool. Really fun. Do you know what your mom is?
Capricorn, I think.
Yeah. January
17th.
I think it's still on the Capricorn side.
Okay.
And cusps are very controversial subjects. So we know a lot of academics with Capricorn parents. Yeah, me too.
All three of us have Capricorn parents. Oh, yeah.
And many people that we've talked to.
It's such a...
Wow.
So, okay. This subject has come up in other friend circles, too, of, like, having Capricorn parents. I wonder if Capricorns are, like, especially predisposed to, like, have children or something.
I don't know.
I don't want to think too much about that.
we need to get into Brooks's chart.
Yeah, let's talk about Sun in Pisces. The thing the first thing to come to mind when I think about Pisces is that it's the oldest sign in the zodiac, and so it is full of whiz. Aries is the youngest, Angela Bell. It is seen as, like, full of wisdom. I see that in my mom. And it makes me really drawn to Pisces energy as really wise. And I think we've talked before about how earth signs tend to be the signs that we go to for, like, practical life advice. And Pisces is not an earth sign. Pisces is a water sign. Rather, I think Pisces is maybe not the sign I would go to for, like, practical life advice. But I feel like Pisces in my life are always, like, super... emotionally attuned, and Pisces, like, know what the fuck is going on, but, like, don't always feel what
we said we could suddenly curse on this podcast, and you're just going all out today.
I'm like this in class too. I had a class observation today, though, and I really had to reel it in, but then I noticed it, like, I taught, like, the second section of the class that I was teaching where I didn't have somebody observing. I was, like, cursing, like, an extra lot to, like, get it. Anyway, sorry about that. But I feel like Pisces, rather than being, like, you know, the people that I go to for like financial advice are the people that I really count on for like knowing what's up at, like emotionally, and sort of being able to like see things with a lot of like wisdom and like perspective. And they're also not the ones that are like at the front of the line to like give you life advice. Like I've the Pisces friends in my life are the people that I seek out, but don't like necessarily like come to me and tell me like, you know, you really oughta.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What do you think about when you think of Pisces?
I mean, I do. Well, when you said that Pisces is the oldest sign and Aries is the youngest, I'm a sun in Aries, and I always like have strange relationships with people who are in Pisces. And I think that like learning about them being oldest versus youngest, I see it like as a battle of egos at times in terms of like wisdom, because Aries think they know what's right, and usually like we are right, but I mean other signs have very different feelings about Aries vibes, and so no sign shaming, that makes me think a little differently about the Pisces in my life, and the people who are Pisces in my life are like my second moms, or like my moms away from mom. Not that you're my mom away from mom, Brooks, but yeah.
Okay.
How do you see yourself think of yourself as a Pisces?
Yeah. Did anything either of us say either resonate with you or totally piss you off?
Truth be told, I don't really follow astrology that much. So
you're a perfect guest.
Coming into this cold, Pisces though, like was something when I figured out, like when I was a little kid, that was what my sign was, or my, now I know even more from you folks what my sun sign is. Like I was like, it had to be. I have to own that because I'm Brooks. Brooks is water and it's plural and it couldn't be anything else. Like that had to be the sign that I was. And this is when I was like a 6-year-old kid or something.
I love that.
You're primed.
And so that was just like, I knew nothing else about any other sign. It was just sort of like, I'm a 6-year-old kid and it was just like, yeah, okay, multiple fish. That's water. That's good. I like that. So to
very
me,
sweet.
I mean, to me, I guess it's sort of, I like the whole the sort of fluid and flowing nature of it, and I was sort of reading over some of the materials you folks gave me as to what the usual interpretations are, and the sort of mystical, whimsical sensitivity, art, sort of artistic blending of random things side, I was like, yeah, that kind of works. That definitely works, actually.
Cool. So we're going to talk more about that. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to talk more about those qualities, because I think we have a lot to, not supposed to say unpack, but unpack here. Shout out to the person who told us not to say that word.
Who shall not be named.
So here's a song that Brooks picked to reflect his son in Pisces.
Night swimming deserves a quiet night. The photograph on the dashboard, taken years ago, turned around backwards so the windshield shows. Every street light reveals a picture. Still, it's so much clearer. I forgot my shirt at the water's edge. The moon is low tonight. night swimming deserves a quiet night. I'm not sure all these people understand. It's not like years ago. Fear of getting caught, a recklessness of water. They cannot see me naked. These things, they go away, replaced by every day. Night swimming, remembering that night. September's coming soon. I'm pining for the moon. And what if there were two, side by side in orbit around the fairest sun? The bright tide forever drum cannot describe night swimming. You, I thought I knew you. You, I cannot judge. You, I thought you. Underneath my breath, night swimming. Streetlight, a reminder. Night swimming deserves a quiet night. Deserves a quiet
Brooks, what did we just listen to?
So we just listened to Night Swimming by REM. And that is my Pisces song.
Mm-hmm. Not just any song, but your favorite song.
Yeah. That's a fact.
Okay. So let's run down some quick facts about Pisces. So it's duality is your energy comes from within. It is a water sign, which we've talked about its element before, and it's also mutable. Can you remind us what mutable means, Rachel?
Sort of like easily adaptable.
Adaptable, yeah. And flexible, yeah. And so you are ruled by Neptune. I think Neptune is like one of the earliest discovered planets.
Really?
Second planet discovered.
Of the ones that we didn't know beforehand.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of the ones that you can't see with the naked eye.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I knew I read something about Neptune recently, but I couldn't remember exactly. But Neptune is the god of the sea. So again, sticking with the water theme, it's the planet of illusion, glamour, mystery, and deception. Mm-hmm. I think, and your most likable trait is compassion. So that's what others like about you.
Yeah, cool. Well, do you want to speak to if any of that resonates with you or doesn't resonate? You talked a little bit about the sort of creative artistic side.
Well, I would say a lot of that resonates with me. I mean, I'm thinking about all of the stuff that you were just saying, Angela, and I mean the creative artistic side is definitely it's something that I definitely really sort of live for. And mm-hmm. This is actually the first year in a long time when I've had the time and just logistically, you know, the instruments with me to actually start making music again and playing it in public, as we talked about earlier. And that just feels wonderful to me. And I just love, I love writing things and composing things and putting words together and the fluidity of putting words together while we're talking about the whole water sign thing. And, and I guess, I mean, the darkness and the mystery of everything too, I think on my professional side. And, you know, that's when you introduced what I do, that also is, you know, the darkness and mystery of looking for dark matter is, you know, that also attracted me somehow. So
I mean, I have a thought. We can edit this out later if necessary. But I feel like there is a little darkness in your life. I don't know if we want to go here, but you are allergic to many things.
That is very true. I am allergic to lots of things.
But you are also, like, very, you have to be kind of flexible, right, when you're around people or in social situations due to that. And I think you are a really good sport about a lot of things. But people are, like, really great about rallying and being able to get, like, you things to eat, which is I feel like we all really care about you.
Because you are just wonderful people. I mean, you do.
Yeah, but I feel like just thinking about allergies as like a threat is like, that's something that might be always in your mind.
It makes the way I interact with the world very different in the sense that I don't sort of like the idea of just sort of like, you know, I think for a lot of people, the idea of, you know, there are a lot of people who will, you know, it'll be hard, you know, they won't want to cook something. It'll just be like, let's do something easy. Let's go out or let's order in. And to me, that's the much harder thing. And food is, and the thing about food is, like, since time immemorial, since, you know, we were dwelling in caves and on the savannah and stuff, you know, food is this, like, one of the centerpieces of, it's what draws us together communally as people for meals. And in weird ways, when you have a lot of allergies to a lot of stuff, somehow sometimes you sort of feel peripheral to that, or you feel like the usual things that people, I mean, just even to use the phrase break bread over, right? Like I do not break bread unless it is very, very special kind of bread.
That's an interesting connection. Cool.
Rachel?
Yeah, this is kind of unrelated. What I wanted to return to and sort of like just ask you more about, and we should maybe move on soon, but to me, I was like, as I was listening to Night Swimming with you, on a pretty surface level, it seemed fairly intuitive to me why that might be like Pisces related. But I was wondering if, you know, you could speak to that and maybe for our listeners, and maybe to give me like another level of depth of understanding.
Yeah. When I first heard it, the song just sort of somehow pulled me in. And that song has a lot of very deep associations with me, including everything from, very deep associations with past romantic partners, and to standing on a staircase every year for something like 25 years of my life, looking out at Lake Michigan. And my family sort of somehow acquired a cabin on the lake, on the shore of Lake Michigan, up in Michigan in the 20s, because they a couple of people lived in Evanston, and people in Chicago would sometimes do that. And this was a fairly rustic affair. I mean, it did not have running water until like the 50s or something, and it didn't have a shower until the 90s. And I mean, it was, you know, one of these things. But the thing is, like, everybody gathered in this tiny little house. The upstairs was just like rows of beds upon beds upon beds. And we all just, you know, like 30 people in the extended family, you know, like everybody sort of pitched in to take care of it. And everybody would kind of, we'd all congregate. And so I got to see sort of my extended family and every, and kind of where I came from. And I don't, like, when I was a kid, I just sort of took that for granted. It was like, oh, extended family, we get to, you know, go to the cottage and see everybody. But later on, it sort of became apparent to me how rare that was, and how, like, extended families are often not something that, you know, gather en masse. And it was sort of metaphorically a chance to bathe in that, and that part of my history and who I was. And then that song is really about, you know, going back and revisiting. And you were saying something like Pisces being the oldest sign. And everything in that song is just retrospective. And it's looking at, you know, people you knew in the past and love that you'd had in the past and things that get broken. But there are still shreds of it that, you know, are there that can be, when you go immerse yourself in the water again, it's, you know, there's some breath of something that's still there. And I really love that.
That's so sweet.
Brooks, that was gorgeous.
I'm just basking in your storytelling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was really beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks.
Thank you. Rachel, do you have any more, or should we
I'm emotionally exhausted now.
Wow. Okay. So we're just going to.
That was amazing.
It was.
Let's take a music break. I want to play the song for Brooks's Moon in Leo.
Another brand new sign for chart toppers. So,
yeah, we're learning a lot today.
So cool. We'll get into Leo when we get.
Rabbit while the resting was like-
Welcome back. You just listened to, well, Brooks, what did we just listen to?
Okay, so we just listened to Sunbathing Animal by Parquet Courts.
And I loved it. And that was, yeah. Do you want to tell us why that spoke to you when we were asking about moon and moon sign in general, or moon and Leo specifically?
Okay, so I hadn't really, so when I had only, you know, like I said before, astrology is not something I know a lot about. Mm-hmm. So I had only known what my sun sign was. In fact, up until you folks told me that there were other things called moon signs and rising signs and such, I didn't even know those existed. And so when I did the, you know, the chart and saw that my moon sign was Leo, I looked at the characteristics and thought, really? That doesn't quite, because there are certain things where just like, you know, like with Pisces, is like, yeah, I can own that. Mm-hmm. With Leo, it was sort of like this, like, it doesn't really seem like it even fits. And then I sort of thought about it a little bit more, and I kind of thought, well, okay, in the sense that it's a moon sign, it's kind of things that are hidden or internal to you, and there's a lot about sort of like feeling aggrieved about injustice and sort of like raging in about that element to Leo, and I kind of feel like, yeah, that is me, and the fact that it's the fact that it's sort of hidden, is also sort of part of me. I mean, it doesn't really come out typically, and that's, I guess, sort of why I chose a song like that. It is, I mean, that song is basically just a rapid fire, you know, bout of logorrhea that, you know, it's all about just sort of, you know, tensions in sort of social milieus and feeling aggrieved at what other people do that's unjust, and at injustice in general, and just sort of like, and you just see it come out in this just sort of slurry of words, and that I could connect with, and that I kind of felt, okay, yeah, so that's why I chose that song.
Cool. I'm thinking about running into you at protests before I really knew who you were. You were like the other faculty member that I would see at protests.
That's right. We would see each other a lot at those. Just sort of like, wave. It's like, hey, Rachel, how you doing?
Yeah, it was last summer, and we like barely knew who each other were, and we weren't really like, I don't think, that connected at a friend crew yet. But I would be like, that's that other person who works at my work that also like keeps showing up. Yeah, so that's what I was thinking of. Sometimes we think of moon signs as modifiers of a sun sign, and so
it does like interact. I think the moon in Leo, if you have a water sign for a sun, which is your Pisces, so your moon in Leo heightens your already emotional your already powerful emotional impact on others. Which I think you do do affect others, like through your art, through teaching, through interacting with your world. I definitely think see the fire in you, like, because it is a fire sign. There's a lot of passion behind what you do, and I think I think Leos are all about, like, you know, you think of the lion and, like, their beautiful mane and, like, how prideful they are. And I think it might take, because it's in your moon, it might take a minute to get that out of you or to own up to some of the things that you're...
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's definitely there. Like,
That totally surprises me. What?
Wow. So,
okay.
Okay.
Say more.
Interesting.
If you want.
There are occasions where I just sort of get really really pissed off and lose it. But
you are, so your quality is fixed. So I think that is an interesting contrast with the adaptability of your Pisces. And your sun is your ruler in Leo. And so that's, I think, also what fuels the passion, right?
Yeah, the sun is I love that you made the connection to me between like fire and passion, because mm-hmm. I totally think of Brooks as a really like impassioned person. And even before I really knew you, and I was mm-hmm. I think reading like, you know, your faculty bio, like of the faculty I know, you were like really give a shit about your research. ways.
We all like our research.
Okay.
Sometimes, but only sometimes.
One of the three people in this room sometimes doesn't give that many shits about their research. But I think of you as somebody who, and even as you're sort of like very thoughtfully describing the ways in which you've related to these different songs and the ways in which you've interpreted even your Pisces song, I think of that as really impassioned. And so I'm glad, Angela, you made the connection there to the fire, because I do see that in you.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. Is that something that you see in yourself at all?
It's. I guess it's when you say it. Yeah. It sometimes takes me a minute to when you say it, I suddenly think, okay.
Yeah, that's funny. I don't know. I always think, like, now I'm like, oh, shoot, am I just telling Brooks, like, fake things?
And I don't think so.
And then he's just gonna, like, agree to everything I say, like.
I mean, that's the Pisces trait.
Pisces trait is to be, like,
It
all comes together.
No, I think, I mean,
also you have
Pisces
like
are very accepting.
Black hair and. I don't know.
Brooks does not have black hair for everyone who does not know.
If you don't know Brooks, Brooks is a redhead. So I'm just going to start seeing if Brooks will ever disagree with me about anything.
I think this is a good time to get into Brooks's Cancer.
Cancer rising.
Oops, not just, you know, Brooks Cancer and Brooks's rising in Cancer are very different things.
Yeah, Brooks has a rising in Cancer.
And I have a rising in Cancer. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've definitely talked about this before, but that doesn't mean this is old news. So we're going to get into your song and then talk about how this affects your Leo and Pisces.
That means no. Where I come from, I am cold, I'm waiting for the day to come. I chew my lips, oh, and I scratch my nose. Feels so good to be a rose. Oh, don't you lift me up, ooh, like I'm that shy. No, 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 just give it up. There are bats all dissolving in a row, oh, into the wishy-washy dark that cannot let go. And I cannot let go, and so I thank the Lord, ooh. I thank his sword, though it be mincing up the morning, slightly bored. Oh, whoa, whoa, morning without a warning, like a hole. Oh, and I watch you go. There are some mornings when the sky looks like a road. Some dragons who were built to have and hold, and some machines are dropped from great heights lovingly, and some great bellies ache with many bumblebees, and they sting so terribly. stir into my tea, and I am watching you, and you are starry, 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 and I'm tumbling down in a check a frown. That's why I love this town. We'll just look around to see me serenade it out. Waltzing with the open sea, clam, crab, cockle, cowrie. Oh, you just look at me. Oh, 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 oh.
It's your turn, Rachel.
Fine. Welcome back.
What did we just listen to, Brooks?
So we just listened to Clam, Crab, Cockle, Cowrie by Joanna Newsom.
Very sweet. Very literal interpretation of cancer.
Yeah. And... The thing was, the literal interpretation also sort of fit with the figurative stuff, so I felt I should roll with it.
Yeah.
So the whole song to me is about an internal life and a shyness that where there's a projection you put on to other people, which is, I think, sort of a lot of what the rising sign is about,
yeah.
if I remember correctly. And it's sort of, you know, her walking through the city and feeling celebrated sourly and dedicated dourly. And, you know, it's just the difference between or the way we interact with people and sort of the internal lives we lead. It definitely seems like a water sign song.
And yeah. Sweet.
Yep. Hard on the outside, soft on the inside.
Oh, yeah. That's classic cancer. That's what Angela describes her
myself.
Cancer rising as.
Yeah. I was trying to think of my first impression of Brooks.
Oh.
And
yep.
So you met Brooks, or you would see Brooks at like protests. I feel like I've seen Brooks at what we call professor parties, where we're just doing quiet activities.
Okay.
Brooks is always down to play a game.
Yep.
Really into always next to the popcorn.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, this guy's smart. Yeah. Not really sure how to relate this right now to the crab.
Well, maybe it'll like shift it a little bit.
Yeah.
Your rising's also in Cancer.
Yeah.
Um,
that's true. But I yeah. Hmm.
What can you remind us what the like salient aspects of Cancer Rising are for you to sort of frame this conversation? You don't have, okay, great. I'm going to remind you and read them off of our notes.
Okay, thank you.
That's totally what we were going to do.
We can also edit that part out. I think I'm really loyal to people. I think I have really deep-seated friendships. Once my friendships are made, mm-hmm. it might take me a little while to open up into spaces. So that's what I think about in Cancer Rising and myself. I also, energy comes from within, so it really takes a lot to kind of be social, or what I have a put on a good face when I am social, and then I'm like, oh, I need to go sleep for 1,000 years once I'm by myself, mm-hmm. because I'm just kind of spent and want to rest and restore. I don't know how you feel about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of being spent and needing to rest and restore. And I mean, the sort of hard on the outside, soft on the inside thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess I kind of resonate a little bit with that in the sense that I guess I do have sort of boundaries. And there's some people who you mm-hmm. meet in the world in general who you have sort of an instant rapport with them, and mm-hmm. you know, it's very easy to just sort of interact, and within 5 minutes they're an open book, and yeah. you know, and then there are other people where, you know, if it's you and the other person, it you're sort of chemical reagents, where there is a very sort of high energy barrier between, you know, the two of you actually yeah. forming a single molecule. And I kind of feel like I'm maybe a person with a little bit of a higher energy barrier to forming a single molecule, to people who, you know, really, you know, for people to really get to know me more deeply. But
yeah, sweet.
I think you have been really open on this podcast. So for those of you who are just meeting Brooks for the first time, this might be a surprise. Yeah. It took a few times of us being in the same space for me to be there's a lot more to this guy, or maybe your interest in music might have surprised me, but it also didn't surprise me because I was of course Brooks does music, and of course Brooks has all these projects. And yeah, I don't know, what about you, Rachel? What are you thinking?
Just I think that the Pisces Sun Cancer Rising combination,
lots of water,
it's a lot of water, and there's a lot of synergy in that to me. This is sort of just on the surface level, and just looking at my different understandings of these aspects, but both are signs that are really sensitive to emotional signals from other people. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I see that in Brooks.
That are, yeah. both, a lot of creativity aspects, and so I just see a lot of synergy in those things. Cancer is also ruled by the moon, and
the moon matters a lot.
The moon matters a lot.
Are probably affected by lunar events, maybe in different ways.
Yeah.
At least, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Such as the moon in Taurus.
Yeah, yeah.
Full moon in Taurus.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, but just sort of kind and imaginative and deeply emotional. And those are all things that I think that I read those things from you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess instead of thinking of it as hard on the outside, soft on the inside, I'm also thinking of this concept of still waters run deep. And I think when you ask, if there's ever a question posed, Brooks has a lot of thoughts and a lot of feelings.
That often happens. And sometimes those do get aired.
What do you think about Cancer, a rise in Cancer?
I think like to me, it was a lot, Rachel, it was a lot of what you said, that there's a lot of just sort of resonance with the sun in Pisces sort of thing. And to me, it's sort of it's just a big lot of water sign. And, you know, I think that part of, you know, that part of who I am plays a lot into the way I interact with other people too.
Oh, totally.
So
yeah.
I guess I figure that kind of works in that way.
I know that Cancer is also like really love structure, stability, and family matters a lot. And so we've talked about how much your family home like means to you. And I see that now. I think like being at home and like, you know, playing Boggle is like also like a very cherished pastime, which also makes me feel very nostalgic. And I think Cancers are nostalgic. I don't know about you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you like do you collect a lot of things too?
I do. I collect a lot of things. Oftentimes it's sort of difficult to part with certain things. There are certain sort of little tchotchkes and trinkets that kind of find their way onto my windowsills, and then I just get a lot of them and sort of dump them onto the windowsill, and then they kind of sit there in a heap, in sort of an undifferentiated heap. And
yeah,
I don't know, but yeah, there's a lot more of it is just sort of mentally collecting stuff. And I like one of the things I try, like for some reason I just got in the habit of like, I wanted to be able to, like, there's certain poems that I just wanted to have in my head to recall at all times. So at some point a couple of years ago, I just started memorizing them. And now and the cool thing is, like, they live with me now. And I can just sort of, you know, I can bring them out. And they're kind of a part of what I do when I go around the world. And it's great just to have that.
Your body is a house. It's a home. A home for these poems.
I love water signs.
Rachel's Gemini is crushing hard on all the
water signs. That's just going to be true forever. That's great. Sweet. I think we're about at time.
Yeah. Brooks, how do you feel about going through this process and learning more about the zodiac?
I really enjoyed it. I just love symbol and metaphor and being able to attach and play with symbols. And it just, you know, a lot of it's just sort of requiring a lot of imagination to fit different things that you are into different pieces and see yourself through new lenses.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what all this is about.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that.
Awesome. It's been really fun to have you on.
Well,
thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been great. Like, I'm smiling so hard. Like, my cheeks hurt. This has been such a fun episode.
Yeah, this is really sweet.
I guess, do we have any final announcements we need to make before we sign off?
I just always wanted to do that.
Okay.
No,
you were also doing this clicking noise that was very prominently featured in a horror movie, and I was like, please stop doing that.
Really?
That song, or that song.
Was I doing that during sound check?
Yeah. Oh, that was anyway, follow us at chart.toppers on Instagram. You can also search Spotify chart toppers at WJRH, and our playlist will come up.
And as always, catch our next show at wjrh.org/charttoppers.
Great. Signing off, I'm Angela Bell.
Rachel Coe.
And Brooks Thomas.
See you later.
Bye.